The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty. Turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Today's episode was brought to you by
Entenmann's.
Hi guys.
All right, so we have a lot of national figure skating championships dirt to get through.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while, but we got to take you back and kind of go through it all and let you know our thoughts on everything, because it's a bit of a crazy nationals.
Lots
men's
of
event,
drama.
Ladies event.
Olympic selection snafus.
Yeah, as promised, though, we really should get to, because we talked about, you know, getting to nationals, our production meeting. We really need to get back to the moment we checked in. And Jay, I mean, I guess you should talk about it because you checked in first.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to talk about it first because my side of the story will make your side of the story a lot funnier.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, when I, first of all, I traveled to California for the Nationals from the far east coast of the United States. And I arrived super early, and the room I was supposed to be in that would technically be adjoining to Tara's was not ready. But I had to work that day, so I needed to get into a room so I could unpack, get my clothes together, shower, and get prepared for our work. So they put me in this room, and in addition to that, I have in a room that was not adjoining to Tara, unfortunately. But in addition to that, just because I have a lot of crazies in my life and in my past, I check into hotels under an alias. And my previous alias, for example, was Boris Yeltsin. And I like to choose funny ones. And it's
I love
always
that
like
you
a
have
thing.
An alias. Well, I just can't imagine ever having an alias.
Well, now you're going to have one because people will know they can call a hotel and ask for Tara Lipinski and you're going to answer and be like, hello. So the thing is, like, it's for my own safety. I mean, I've had death threats in my life and I have crazy people from before and I just don't want them to be able to find me or contact me in any way. So I have an alias, and it's not because I'm so high and mighty that I'm just like, oh, I'm Julia Roberts and nobody should be able to call my room. It's for my own safety. So in addition to moving away from Tara's room, I also checked in under this alias, which basically puts a block on your room for the time you're there, so you can't accept calls, and it just shows up privacy on the hotel computer screen. And then Tara and Lara Conair checked into the hotel that night.
Yeah,
let me
explain.
Yeah, carry on.
Okay, so I go up as usual. We always have adjoining rooms, you know, whatever. We get up to the desk and I was like, just double checking. We have adjoining rooms and, you know, or if worst case scenario, we are next to each other. And the man looks at me as if I am like a stalker. And says, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Weir wanted some privacy. And I go, wait, no. We always stay, and like Laura's getting embarrassed, like ready to walk away.
Yeah.
And he's saying, and I ask again, yes, Mr. Weir asked for some privacy. So this is your room. And I was like, okay. So I took my key, and then I see you, and you know me so well. I walk, you're talking to someone, and it's like already late at night. So I walk by, I say, bye, Jay. I'll be in room whatever. I know you need your privacy. And I'm like pouting as I get on the elevator.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to come up and console me.
I had to console her because, like, okay, so for the national championships.
My feelings were hurt.
Your feelings were hurt.
I didn't realize it was an alias. All I thought is, oh, my God, he doesn't want adjoining rooms anymore. He wants his privacy.
The thrill is gone. That would be our version of not having sex anymore as a married couple. No. But, yeah, so nationals is always a pressure cooker, the hotel situation, because Tara and I both, obviously, as we've talked about many times, have traumatic PTSD when it comes to figure skating.
Mm-hmm.
And nationals in particular, because while it is a very special event, the hotel is full of skaters and fans and mothers of skaters and stage mothers of skaters and judges and all these people who we respect but scare us. And especially now that we're like the mouthpieces of figure skating on television, we have a lot of respect for what we do, and we have to be nice to everyone and completely unbiased. So we try not to talk to anybody, but how are you not going to talk to somebody you've technically known for like 50 years?
Right.
So there I stand talking to them, and then I see Tara walking by, and Laura Conair had a red face because she's Southern and bashful. And, you know, she just was looking for a good fry. And, yeah, and trying to figure out how to make us take pictures with things for the podcast. Poor Laura. She's, like, wrangling cats. But anyway, yeah, I asked for privacy, but not from Tara Lipinski. And the hotel staff did a really bad job of delivering that news to
horrible her. News. It's crushing. So then I felt much better because Jay said, what room are you in?
Oh, I saw that face coming. I saw her face coming across the lobby.
Bye, Jay. Have
bye,
a good
girl.
Night.
Girl, bye.
See you at the rink tomorrow.
F you.
So it was really sweet. It was like we had a little breakup and makeup, and he came up and he gave me a hug and he explained it. And, you know, all is well in Tara and Johnny's world.
But ultimately, it was just because I had to check into a room, and we were filming a piece about Tara Lipinski. So honestly, honey, in hindsight, I did it for you.
Actually, speaking of that piece, that was really fun. So it was the first time this has ever happened. Johnny got to interview me. We were talking about the 20th year anniversary of Japan. And
Tara's illustrious victory over the rest of the world.
And it was really fun to be in that position where I got to be interviewed by you. And you did such a great job. The piece came out so well. I think they'll use bits and pieces of it elsewhere, but
throughout the games.
It was really fun.
On on internet platforms. That's on, what do they call it?
Social media?
not social media. Wait.
Digital.
Digital. That's one of the Tara and my least favorite things when we get told like,
we have this amazing idea. Sure, we can put that on digital.
Yeah, well, you guys have worked all day. It's going digital. It's on a digital platform.
Which is so silly because everything now is being consumed that way, but still.
But we're still old enough to think that TV is the only place anything worthwhile lives.
Exactly.
So we're just really old school. But anyway, we did that, and then the actual competitions began.
Okay.
And
should we start with the ladies?
Yeah, I mean, Olympics season is always a pressure cooker. It's always, like, dreams being made and dreams being absolutely obliterated all in the same night.
And so let's start with the ladies. What happened there was the short program was – you have the short program and free skate for all of our non-skating fans that listen –
and tuck in, because this is going to be a little bit skating heavy. However, you're going to enjoy it and you're going to learn something.
We will educate you. So in the short program, Ashley Wagner went out, and we all kind of thought, you know, she's out to win this title. She's one of the most experienced skaters here, has a world medal. Like for this entire season, Johnny and I have been saying, if anything, she is the best shot that the U.S. has in the ladies event for a podium finish if that were to happen, or a close to podium finish.
Right.
And as her season progressed, things declined a bit. She changed her programs a lot. And then it just was like this really weird sort of happening that at Nationals, all these other skaters that wanted to make this Olympic team were so hungry. Mirai Nagasu, Karen Chen, who was defending her title, Mariah Bell.
Brady Tennell.
There was just all of us. And then Brady Tennell is this girl that came out of nowhere. I mean, she's been on the scene with injuries, but to the public kind of came out of nowhere a month ago. So
I mean, kind of even to us. And we're pretty much figure skating experts. But Tara is a great predictor of future promise and future gifts and victories and things. And she's basically like a bookie for figure skating.
We should start betting.
Yeah, well, I'm not. I like to buy bags and shoes as opposed to just losing money by making the wrong choice. Because there's never really been a bet I've won except for one Kentucky Derby.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, Tara has predicted, you know, just gold medal after gold medal for this girl for the last month. And she's been, you know, telling anyone that would listen. And now that she's actually come true and this girl won the ladies event, Tara couldn't be more proud.
Right.
She's her favorite skater.
Johnny likes to say she's my favorite skater. But the truth is, I think Brady Tennell is amazing, but I have many other favorite skaters.
Not true at all. It's Nathan Chen and Brady Snell.
This is an inside joke between us, and so just don't take anything he's saying seriously.
Well,
because then we're going to bring up every season. So, guys, All right, Johnny, don't say a word because you always say too much. We get into this funny inside joke thing, and every year we have a favorite skater. It may not actually be our favorite skater, but we like to tease each other about who our favorite skaters of the year are.
And this is simply because I'm not going to say too much. Like, they're
you're
going
to take it back to the original. Don't.
No, I won't take it back to the original, but since we've been doing our jobs... there have just been funny instances where, you know, we will have totally, and not because we don't like the skater, but they've skated terribly and we have crapped all over their performance just by telling people, you know, what they're not going to win. They made too many mistakes. They were awful. Their choreography is bad. Like, there are some skates that happen and we have to be honest with our audience. It's why we have our jobs and why we really enjoy them is because we can teach people the reality of what's going on. But anyway, there will be some of these unfortunate sort of pound puppy performances. And Tara, being, you know, a kind person, will find something really nice to say about them. And that then leads me to believe that that skater that had a tragic performance
is
that,
my,
you know,
favorite skater.
Garnered 90th place is definitely Tara's favorite skater.
And then this just keeps going on and on. It's this inside joke. But yeah. Anyways, short program. It was very surprising.
The bronze!
Brady Tennell, of course, as consistent as she is, went out and nailed it. And Ashley Wagner made a mistake on her combination, but then when the scores came up, it was very shocking to Johnny and I to see that her component score was lower than we thought it should be. Right. And it was definitely a message being sent before this free skate that, you know, I think everyone needs to be at their very, very best, aggressive and killing it and nailing it to make this Olympic team. So we already kind of knew after the short program with this sort of up in the air.
Harsh judging.
What's going to happen to Ashley Wagner? Because I can't remember. Was she in fifth or sixth?
I think she was in fifth place. She was
right,
pretty far down.
Which is shocking, guys. That just wouldn't happen. And like we talk about in skating, it is a bit subjective. It is a bit political. And a lot of times the favorites or the skaters that, you know, have the credentials and have been around, small mistakes sometimes, you know, don't get judged as harshly. And that's not how it should be. But, you know, a lot of times in the component artistic score, that score is really pushed up to help keep those skaters alive. And for right, some reason, that did not happen with Ashley in the short program. So then...
Well, there's a lot of... Let me just jump in.
Go ahead.
So there's a lot of prestige that comes with high-level skaters. You see them in the biggest series, the biggest championships. You see them all over the place. And the last time we saw Ashley Wagner in the fall, she withdrew mid-performance, and it was a really hard one for her and a really hard one to stomach for the skating community. And Ashley Wagner is one of these very sassy, very outspoken people that, you know, I was one of them too. And there are times when your cockiness and your attitude definitely precede you, and it can be very disliked very quickly when you are an outspoken person. And she seemed to be very just aggressive in the way that she was talking, and not in a nice way or not even in a cute way, but just like it was kind of off-putting after that event happened. So you could see where that was sort of reflected in the judges being a bit almost annoyed by her public persona.
So we head into the free skate, guys. And I was on
Tara's favorite, Brady Tennell, was leading by a tiny margin over Marina Gossu.
Right, only a tiny. I was on the edge of my seat the entire time because every one of these girls, they went out there on, like, they were on a mission. They were attacking, like, Marina Gossu, her story about, you know, so 4 years ago, guys, Ashley Wagner, again, had trouble at the Nationals before the Olympics trying to make the Olympic team, came in fourth, and they actually overlooked Mirai's placement on the podium and took Wagner instead. And it was this devastating moment for Mirai. And over the past 4 years, it's been, you know, she really talks about what it's done to her, the athlete she's become from it, just how badly and how hungry she was to prove that she's worthy of making it on the Olympic team. That so much so, she added a triple axel, which is insanely difficult, almost you know, nobody does it. And she was the only one at Nationals doing it. She might be the only one at the Olympics doing it, most probably. So it was just this gutsy, risky move. And it was like, she was like my favorite Johnny at Nationals because she just went out there for blood. She went out there to prove it to herself, to prove it to the audience, the judges, that, you know, she has worked so hard and that she has the technical goods. And there was just something about her that was so special. So, like, as she's doing her program, like, I am literally standing on my seat. Like, my nerves are on edge. Karen Chen comes out. She's defending her titles, had a tough year. She starts skating the program of a lifetime, like, again, on the top of my seat. You know, Brady Tennell, under all this pressure, skates a perfectly clean program. Ashley Wagner comes out to a totally new free skate, which actually I loved. I was in love with, and I'm so confused why she didn't use it all year, and that could have been part of the problem. But it really came, her scores came down to many other things. It came down to a spin. It came down to things that she could have done to improve that score. So it's, you know, it's not just the judging, because if you've been watching the media, it seems, you know, she's been very outspoken of how upset she was with that score. But she skated a pretty good program, right, Johnny? Like, we
right,
were
she
like,
wasn't
oh
terrible.
My goodness, like, this, you know, she kind of had a comeback free skate. And then the scores came up.
Yeah, and the scores were just, you know, they were definitely a message that you made mistakes, which she did. She did make visible mistakes, and she did leave points on the table. And this scoring system is all about racking up those points. And even something as small as a spin that should be worth 5 points, you only receive 4 points on because you left a position out or something.
Right.
And or the position wasn't counted. So it came down to little things that kept Ashley Wagner off the Olympic team. But then, you know, everyone had to have that idea that, you know what, Ashley Wagner is the most seasoned, the most titled and titled skater as well to be on this Olympic team, but she came in fourth again. So are they going to do the same thing that they did 4 years ago and take somebody off?
Right,
the
and
top
not
three?
To get too technical to our people that don't know, but it wouldn't have been, Karen Chen was in third, but they wouldn't have taken Karen off. They would have taken Mirai off again because it goes by this, like the criteria of, you know, past Nationals, Grand Prix results, all these things. And it was pretty much between Karen and Ashley. Mirai was below that. So they would have had to go and take Mirai off the team again, which I just don't know how they would have done that, you know, two cycles in a row to the same person.
Right. But then we look to the men's event where the person that did come in second was taken off the team. And Mirai came in second in the ladies, and Brady Tennell won, and she won by a mile. But then Karen Chen ultimately was the third place, and Ashley was fourth, and nobody got taken out of that top three. Tara and I had, you know, we had to think about our feelings about this stuff just because we had to explain it to America, what was going on. And Ashley Wagner's the most well-known name of the ladies, and to tell them why, I mean, not on the same level as if Tara Lipinski or Michelle Kwan had been left off an Olympic team. But, you know, for this day and age, Ashley Wagner's the most well-known skater. She's in all the Olympic ads. She did special commercials with people. And, you know, she must have gotten a new publicist and is in the press a lot doing things. So she's the most well-known one, and she didn't make it, and we had to explain why.
Right. And, I mean, it's hard to explain that to an audience that doesn't know the ins and outs of the judging system and all the criteria met. And, you know, I think Johnny and I kind of feel the same way. It's unfortunate that you just can't take the top three out of Nationals and it be so clean cut.
Because that's how it used to be.
Right.
It was more so like that, where the top three would go and the national champion is assured a place on the team. And
right.
It used to be a little bit simpler. But
right.
Now there's all this criteria so that the U.S. can field the best team.
But there's nothing we can do about it. So as commentators, we just have to sort of tell it like it is and explain that, unfortunately, there is this rule that you have to go by. But it happened in the men's event too. Ross Miner kind of came out of nowhere this season. He skated the program of a lifetime. I mean, it gave me chills. Like, it was so, so good. He comes in second. Adam Rippon, who is, you know, been on, again, a mission to make this Olympic team. He was training so hard, and he wanted it so badly, and he skated so well throughout the season. And then he was doing a pretty good program, but then fell apart at the end. And it was shocking. And he came in. He was in fourth, right, Jay?
Yeah, he came in in the top three after the short. And then...
No, I'm sorry. I already skipped to the free skate.
Oh, okay. You're already there. No, he came in fourth. Yeah.
He came in fourth. And so then there was another decision to be made. And then, of course, on criteria, Adam, you know, trumps what Ross's credentials are from this past season. And they put Adam on the team. And it was really heartbreaking to watch because my heart was in two different spots. Adam worked so hard to get on this team, and I think he's very capable. I think, you know, with that quad lutz that he's so, you know, gutsy to try, and with his training and his consistency that just wasn't shown in that free skate, I think he has, you know, he's a great team member for the U.S. But then watching Ross have the program of a lifetime during an Olympic trials, it was heartbreaking as well. But yeah, I really think they made the right decision.
I think they made a good decision. I mean, there is no right decision when it comes to this because there is so much heart in figure skating. We're not racing against a stop clock and or competing with an entire team. It's one person and it's subjective, and it can come down to even if you do very well and win, you can be left off of a major event simply because you don't have a track record of being consistent or being well-liked internationally. And Adam had that over Ross Minor, but it was just so sad. I mean,
it really
Ross Minor,
it was.
He skated the lights out. And
well, I just want to get to a happy note in the men's event real quick. Jimmy Ma.
Turned down for what?
So guys, he came out, I think it was his short program, and he skated to Turn Down for What?
I forget what place he ended up. It was like 10th or 12th. It was somewhere down in there.
Right. But he like just brought it. And it was just something fresh. And obviously, you know, like, for skating, you know, it's not Phantom of the Opera. So the audience was in it, and it was just so much fun. Johnny and I were dancing. Like, it was one of our favorite moments. And now, before we go on air, we asked to hear Turn Down for What so we can dance in our seats to get pumped up.
But we're surrounded by boxes of Entenmann's. Thank you again
Donuts.
To Entenmann's. Donuts! For being a part of Tara and Johnny, the award-winning podcast.
Guys, as you know, we are obsessed. We grew up on it.
But Entenmann's has a wide range of products that make us both happy.
The crumb cake has become Johnny's secret weapon to his brilliant commentary. I really think it is, Johnny, because you have one right before you go out every time. So I'm copying you now, and I have the Little Bites muffins.
Yeah, and I mean, don't get me started on Tara's adoration for the rich chocolate frosted donuts.
It's a problem.
Yeah, it's like watching one of those scary movies where, you know, zombies eat people when Tara goes to town on a box of the rich chocolate frosteds.
They're just so good.
Entenmann's is absolutely delicious, and we're super excited to take them to the Olympics in South Korea with us. We're going to need like a whole steamer trunk filled.
We're going to need a separate suitcase. And can you imagine when we get there, we're just going to line them up on the table, and every morning we can just pick out our favorite donut or muffin.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a major Instagram thing where we have the donuts and we put our bracelets or our necklaces or our rings or something for the day in the donut.
Oh, so they get glammed up.
Yeah. I mean, you guys could show us how you glam up your Entenmann's too if you want to put some rings and necklaces all over them. Entenmann's is celebrating their 120th birthday in a big way with their I Sing on the Cake sweepstakes.
Now, if you sing happy birthday to Entenmann's using the hashtags Entenmann's120 and hashtag promotion, you get a second entry for the prizes. And Entenmann's will make a donation to the Give a Note Foundation to support music education in schools. Who doesn't love Entenmann's?
But guys, we're so thankful to you that listen to our podcast and support us on social media at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir, at Tara and Johnny. And we're so thankful to be able to perform for you via podcast every week. And we love you. And until next time,
bye.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.